afternoon to everyone. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to share our experience in Peru, in Trujillo, Peru. We are an NGO who works around the world for more than 100 years, and we are most focusing in health of women and children. This is the 5 countries where we are working. I just focusing in Peru. This is the area where we work. We're working for sites in Peru. In the coastal, we are in Trujillo and Chimbote, and the highlands, we are working in Ancash, is in Macate, and in Huancayo. The study that I will explain to you is mainly about Trujillo, that is the city, and this is the sector where we were doing the baseline. We really think that we could do things alone. We need to put together many key players so we are able to do more. This study, more than a study, is we were working with, in the presentation saying more in maternal and child health regarding with anemia and malnourished, but we noticed that it was no services available for children, for kids with disabilities. So we were saying, well, what more we could do? We should care these kids, but we should also care about the kids that doesn't have the same opportunity. So it was how we really, as an organization, try to be together, different partners. Our commitment with our communities where we work are for around 10 to 15 years, and our work is focused in community. So we really need that the community get the ownership of the reins of whatever is the program that we are developing. But also we want to integrate to the system where it is, in this case, in Peru health system, and bring the bridge between the system and the community many times. So for this, we were partnering with the Ministry of Health, in this case with the Health Post, with a local university, Universidad Privada de Antenor Urrego, and Regis University. It was a happy coincidence. Also, as an organization, we work with volunteers. We had a physical therapist, doctor on physical therapist volunteer that year. So we were, okay, what is a lack of services is not for the whole city. When I say the whole city, we are speaking about 800,000 people in Trujillo, and I know a medical for rehabilitation. So you could imagine how is the other, and is also the PTs at that level are not also in the city available. In Peru, all is concentrated in Lima, so the provinces don't have that quality of services. And we will want to see how we will measure that. In Peru, just was one before a survey done in Callao, but was more for and Lima for regarding to the diagnosis. So we will say what we could do. We bring these people together and we say, this is our volunteer Amber Walker who works in Reyes University. Actually, now she's faculty over there. And say, well, even if we were not able to develop a program now, we need to get information and thinking about in the future, and maybe we could do a future intervention. So how we will start to do this baseline is this baseline. The health system gave us the opportunity to have 27 interviewers that were nurses, students of nursing. They were practicing in the area. And when we're thinking about the objective, it was to know the health status of people with disabilities and the family environment, the people who were living in Bellavista area. It was part of the La Esperanza district. For us, it was very important to understand the situation and assessment of health of the citizens with disabilities living in Bellavista, determine the specific needs of people with disabilities and their families, caregivers, and establish the baseline for future interventions. Just give a little bit the background of Peru. Really was not too much information available, specifically even for the region. Prevalence depends, of course, the operational definition, goes between 31 and 10%. And in the district of La Esperanza, at the moment that we did this study in 2011, was 612 people who were registered in OMAPED. OMAPED is the office for people with disabilities in Peru. Really, he was under-registered, as we found after the study. Regarding to the legal framework, also All people in Peru should be covered for a health in the health system. Even if for people who are poor, what we call SIF, all people who are working should be also part of the system. And people with disabilities are a priority for a national level. However, it's a lack of information for people to know their rights and access and a request that they are a priority to be attended in the system. So it was not really too much information more available. So Amber thought, well, we could use the survey that is applied in the U.S. and so this based on the National Health Interview Survey of Disabilities from here. We adapted to the context. We just took 70 questions because it's very long, that survey. And we used this definition they have in NHS for disability, and also included the chronic conditions. So here you could see the map. It was all the area. It mainly was a census. No was information available, but how we have a good amount of interviewers with training. We did the pilot with them, and we mainly covered the whole area of sampling. We were in total. We were doing it in 2011. The people who we include were people who were living in the sector of Bellavista and were present at the moment of the survey. However, if in the house 20% of the houses didn't open, or we returned to 2/3 of the houses, we were able to return. So it was a cross-sectional study, and the respondents were the person with disability, depends of what kind of disability, or the caregiver in case of the kids mainly. So here is the picture when we're doing the training. As you could see also the situation, according to the picture, is it's like a hill with sand, so it's not really roots there, it's hard for people with disability, of course, go to transportation is not available easy. We did a total of 3,500 visits, as I mentioned before, the number of houses that were not open. In total, we were able to interview 190 people with disability. From them, 47 were kids. We know there was a lot of bias of this study, but the question is, or you do something, or you just wait to a perfect moment. So we prefer to do something. And this area has a lot of crime, so the security is an issue there. So we just were able to interview in the mornings. The nurses, the students were able to do during the week, so weekends were not covering. And it's a self-reported survey. The sample size was very small in the end. So I will present a little bit the results, focusing more with the caregivers, but just you will have a sense of what is the result for the kids. As were mentioned in previously, 60% were male, so it's no surprise that in U.S. or in Peru, the prevalence with kids with disabilities is more for gender for male. Regarding with the income really in this, this is a slum area in the city, so you could see just 8% have more than the minimum wage. So the vast majority are not really receiving too much. And again, we will see the same factors, the same variables. It's like a circle of poverty. Just continue with the situation. Health insurance, acquired didn't have any. Even if they are a priority, they didn't know. And also many times, I didn't put that variable, but they don't have ID, so without ID you could no access to any service. The first thing is get an ID. The CIS is is a subsidized 63%. It means one thing is that you could be registered, but the other is that you receive the services. So this is what I'm saying here is the people who said that was registered. It means they have the ID, the card, but it doesn't mean that they necessarily receive the services. In general, if the primary caregiver is the mom who takes the kids, 42%. If more single moms, we have 60% of single moms or grandmas who are caring, with more women who care. 36% were reported that stopped to work, and a third of them have reported that are depressed all the time. It's no 70% report that is not centered, that they could have the kid for caring, and also it's no 78% reported that was no support group for them. In the 10% that are not attending to school is kids who are in age of schooling. Because they are not accepted, it's just one big school to have 120 kids and it's not enough for the population that they have in the district. And two quarters of the kids need constant needs. Well, in the graphic we could see the hours of for supporting that it is needed. I would say more than for, I mean, when I say the gray area, is that almost the whole day are need support for the week. And again, these results are for adults, but also compared with kids, that was 36%. We have 23 here that family are something to work for care the people. So it's more about, I know that I don't have too much time now, but it's how it is influenced in the situation of caregivers when people don't have many, almost very limited social contacts. So for caregivers it's the same, they are really absorbed caring the family member who have this. The support that have received currently, around 20% have some kind of training they have received in the past and support groups. And also healthcare services is surprisingly high for us that they have the services at the airport, suppose they have the services for kids, but no. Regarding with satisfaction or caregivers, this mainly was for adults who were able to report how they feel with caregivers, and you see that the majority are satisfied, very satisfied or satisfied with the care that they are receiving. However, in contrast with the level of depression that they have. So good that a year after we have been able to do a project with the results. So I am presenting mainly where we are, our objectives in our program. This increased access of comprehensive therapy that was available also because it's the kind of professional that we have available. So we focus mainly in therapies, but from the community-based rehabilitation perspective. It means we go to the house to really make sure that the people can understand that things that I have at home, they could do a different for the kid, and they are able to provide your services and learn. Promote more community participation, develop networking through our beneficiaries, and really the support group is something, a new idea over there. So it has been really successful, especially with families with kids with syndrome, with Down syndrome. And we also advocate for social inclusion. As we are mentioning, we are working again with universities, with base organizations. All this is free for people. These therapies are offered to the kids free. We visit once a week to the kids. Mainly home visits, training for parents in interactive reflective, as we saw that depression is a big issue there, so really we are focusing in how we could support more caregivers. And it's mainly that I want to check, I don't know how much I have. Yeah, I do. Okay, so regarding with these training sessions for parents, it's very important because it's the space that they have where many of the parents can feel guiltiness, loneliness, or it's a good space where they could share, so we welcome and motivate them and start presenting the topic. Could be, for example, loneliness, or many of the women that are single mom, the father left because they knew that the kid was with this situation. So we start having this second time that is the plenary of the experience, so they could share the emotions, and the situation that they are living, so they identify the emotion, and with that negative feelings that they have, we try to convert in something positive, assertive, and how they can learn to see this as a positive way to work with. So we analyze that, we do a cognitive work, rationalize the experience, and we are strengthening the assertiveness throughout the sharing in the plenary with the others, and then we evaluate the methodology with the participants, and this is something that we do around every 2 months with the caregivers. So far, we have able to cover 34, currently we have 34, but we our accumulates 50 kids we have worked with in Trujillo, and now we are open a site in Huancayo also with the same. And that's it. Thank you.